Welcome to Spark TO. Meet the speakers who are sparking conversation at Spark the Change Toronto. So hello, everybody, and welcome to Spark TO. This is our Spark the Change Toronto podcast that brings to you our incredible speakers. And the reason we do that is because Spark the Change Toronto is coming up soon, and we want to tease you, and we want to make you really, really want to come. And this is our fifth year for Spark the Change Toronto. We're back at the Toronto Science Centre. We have got two full days planned. We've got at least 13 speakers, because I think we're adding somebody else. I'm not too sure. I could get in trouble for saying that, but you never know. And today, I'm very fortunate to welcome Selena DeLessie. And we've had to have multiple lessons. And she's nodding and smiling because I got it right. And I said it right, so yay! And Selena's joining me from Paris, Ontario, which is awesome. And she is the principal for DeLessie Solutions. See, I did it wrong there. DeLessie Solutions. And so welcome, Selena.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to speak with you.
Well, we've had about a 40-minute intro chat to get to know each other. That's a whole nother podcast. But Selena is going to be speaking on June 13th, and she's wrapping up our day, and it's a fantastic topic, and I have to get my spectacles because I'm of a certain age where you have to have some reading glasses. And so her topic is change, what's love got to do with it? And if you did not immediately go to the Tina Turner thing, I'm telling you, you're not. Anyway, I don't know if we can be friends if that didn't happen for you. So the topic description is, people try to control change. Can you blame us? We like to feel safe and secure, that we know where we're going and that we know exactly what will happen. But how can we control nature, evolution, or people's emotions? We can continue to fight against it, control it more, or finally surrender into the unknown. Change is not a controllable process. So how do we shift and grow towards our desires? Transformation can happen all on its own or be supported, nurtured, and encouraged. My experience shows a trend of lasting positive change when we step into a place of love. Yes, really. Love for the unknown, the people, the mission and vision, the unraveling, and the new creation. In this talk, I invite you to join me in an exploration of real stories of transformation and what might be possible in using love as a guide for emergence and evolution, which is very awesome. So tell me a little bit more about how you came to that topic for Spark.
So my process for talks is I meditate, and then I hear what would be best to talk about, and that's generally how they come through for me. But really, like, the deeper aspect of that is, you know, my career in technology, as an employee up until about 10 years ago when I started my own company, and then as a consultant and coach and trainer, was really, you know, I witnessed so many people, leaders and managers especially, trying to control their organizations, trying to control people, trying to control with more and more and more processes. Mm-hmm. I was one of those managers very early in my career, thinking if I just had more process in place that everything will go exactly the way I think that it will. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's not really true. You can't foresee every possible thing that's going to happen. Like, there's billions of possibilities in every moment, you know?
Which is exciting. So,
yeah, it is exciting. So it really started coming down to noticing the people who are able to flow with ease through changes in the organization, the people who are struggling with change in the organization. And it's around acceptance that everything is possible, that you don't know what's going to happen. And then the piece beyond that for me was, well, what if I had appreciation for what's happening in the moments? What if I had gratitude for the possibility that could emerge from this current situation? What if I actually appreciated the people I was working with? And for me, that appreciation is really rooted in love. And it's not like I'm going to love people and get in trouble because I'm stepping over a line, you know. And
me too, movement, just saying.
Love is like a dangerous word for a lot of people still, especially in the workplace. And, you know, for me, it comes with love means compassion, it means care, it means appreciation, it means acceptance. And when we're able to be in a moment with that space, with people exactly where they're at, and with the situation exactly where they're at, then we have space to discover what could happen next. Rather than clamping down on, you know, with a tight rein.
It has to be this way, and this is how it has to go, because...
But that's your belief. That doesn't mean that's true for anybody else. You know, and it's when we're like really gripping on, needing things to be a certain way.
Yep.
You're actually demonstrating to other people that they should behave that way too. And now everyone's gripping on for things to be a certain way. And it's usually my way and then my way, my way. And then we have chaos going on.
Yeah. Because nobody's sticking to the vision.
Right. And this appreciation, compassion for the struggle that we've been through, for the challenges that we've had, and the willingness to meet each other and hear each other and see each other is where transformation really comes from.
See, it's interesting that you say that. I was fortunate to attend the Collision Conference in Toronto for the past 2 days. And this is a huge technology-based conference. And the speakers were from Sony Marvel. They were from Spotify. They were from Reddit. They were from Lux. They were from smaller startups. They were just across the board. You know, head folks from Hootsuite and MailChimp. And like, these were big players in the technology field. And just about every single panel discussion around organization and teamwork and all of those things came back to authenticity and truth and strong communication and all of these things. And of course, I highly doubt that these guys got together beforehand and discussed down to the fine detail how the panel was going to go and what have you. Like, we have to get this message out of authenticity and truth. It was 2 days. I must have attended 12 different talks, and it was the undercurrent theme from these giants.
Yeah.
You have to be willing to engage in communication, and you have to be transparent about your motives and what you're trying to achieve. And if you have a vision, communicate that vision clearly, but let go of how you get there.
Yeah.
Up to a point. I mean, it's not a, you know, like you mentioned, it's not a love fest and we're all just going to stand around and kumbaya each other, but you know, appreciate that diversity can bring together innovation.
Yeah. When we're in that space, like those examples that you shared from that conference, it really is about being authentic and being open and being vulnerable and being honest. Speaking the truth when it feels really hard or challenging to you, like speaking to the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about.
Yeah.
And doing that from you can do that from a space of compassion where you're not like pointing fingers at somebody and saying, this is your fault, you know, instead stepping into how did we co-create this situation and how can we co-create a new solution? Willingness to see the best in other people as well as the best in yourself, and a willingness to actually truly believe that everyone's actually done the best that they can in the moments of situations when things did happen.
Or uncover why they didn't do the best they could at that time.
Maybe they weren't really capable of doing better.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing that we all have experiences prior in our lives and work experiences. We have things going on at home. We have prior experiences from our childhoods. And it could be possibly that somebody, we feel that they should know better, and why did they do that? Mm-hmm. There's a difference between somebody intentionally doing something that harms a project or other people versus they were incapable of making another choice because they were triggered by something that had happened that took them into a place where they actually couldn't cope, into a new path, into a new state. And a lot of the things that I've experienced in the organizations that I've done coaching work in is witnessing people being triggered by things. Like, well, you can't force people out of their trigger. I'm certainly not inviting people to all these psychologists and therapists and organizations, but what you can step into is compassion to say, well, what's going on for you? What's happening? What did that bring up for you? Allowing people to voice what's happening for them and inviting them along to the next phase and say, well, what could have you done differently? Or what could we do differently together?
See, that got me thinking, because there was an interesting talk with Jen Fromm, and she talked about the tools of communication. And when you bring up compassion and those almost, I would say, sensory-based emotions where you have to exhibit that, if you don't have the right tools to foster that conversation, then it could almost come across in a negative way.
Yes.
You're trying to be compassionate, but in fact, what you're doing is belittling that person or what have you. And you think that you're trying to help that person get to the core of the issue and solve the problem, when in fact, you're just made it 60 times worse.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is that one thing that you would bring into an organization, is stepping back and looking at the leader's communication skills, what their toolbox has and doesn't have, and then recognizing, all right, we need to work on your lack of tools, oh, I mean, you wouldn't use that language, but your lack of tools around compassion.
Yeah.
Possibly some, you know, EQ and all those types of things. Is that kind of where you might?
Yeah. So yes, most people, I would say the majority of people in organizations are operating at their mind level. And what I'm inviting people to do is shift down into their hearts. Still use the intelligence of your minds to help you with things, but shift it downwards. So if you go into a conversation to support someone through something that had happened, let's say, if you're only operating from your mind, it will come across as belittling and not helpful. It's not authentic. Authenticity comes from your heart.
Well, it might be authentic. So I will rebut that in that might be for them their authentic way of engaging, because they don't have the connection between heart and mind.
Fair. So it's authentic even where they're at currently in their way of being. That's fair. What I mean, let me just kind of shift that a little bit. If you're just following a predefined process that somebody's given you, this is how you work the conversation. Ask this question.
Yes.
That's running a rote like script.
Indeed.
That's not authentic.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a willingness to be in the present state with the conversation, with the person. And where the change really happens is when you're able to engage your heart.
Agreed.
That's where all of like the massive shifts that I've seen with teams that I've worked with have come from.
Yeah.
Really radical, fast transformation. That's where it came from. It's a different layer and a level of operation. And it doesn't discount the intelligence of our minds. You know, it's just another layer beyond. And not a lot of people feel safe or maybe capable to engage their hearts in the workplace. Well, let's be honest, maybe even at home. Right? So,
yeah.
You know, we're introducing and inviting people to new skill sets to deepen their presence and their awareness, their self-acceptance, which allows us to deepen self-acceptance of other people.
Well, it's interesting, like you said there, we don't want to discount intelligence because we're in the workforce. And of course, that's something that's, you know, but we don't want to also minimize the value of the heart, right? So it's that balance. And we joked before about, you know, the Me Too movement and what have you, but that darn pendulum just keeps swinging back and forth between, you know, what's acceptable and what's not. And don't get me wrong, fully support the Me Too movement, fully support, you know, boundaries and what have you. I'm in no way suggesting that behavior was acceptable, but it's now made, I went to a conference shortly after the Me Too movement started. And these men were engaging in a really honest, vulnerable dialogue. And they said, we don't know if we can compliment you. We don't know if we can say, you know, this. And I'm like, okay, well, give me a for instance. And they're like, well, we think you look really nice today. I'm like, and that's fantastic. And I really appreciate that. And I would welcome that. If you say that to me while you're looking at my boobs, that's where we're crossing the not okay line. So,
Yeah.
And I think it's finding those pathways to navigate the touchy moments.
It's finding the middle point. Buddhism is very clear on, you know, finding that middle point. It's finding stability in the middle. And it's around engaging our minds and our hearts in order to find that middle point.
And that was the point that one of the things I was reading, I think, in your About Me, and you can visit Selena's page. It's selenadelessie.com, D-E-L-E-S-I-E. And she talks about her background and she talks about the shift and what she's trying to create within organizations. And I think what happens is when you're in a situation where you can't be authentic, and I've had that in many jobs, which is why I'm now an entrepreneur. And, you know. Only take so much bullshit for so long. And then you're like, you know, I'm either going to buy a farm or I'm going to do my own thing. Because I don't need that much manure in my life. And when you create a situation where people don't feel like they can either, they can't themselves be compassionate to somebody else, or they don't feel that their organization is going to be compassionate to their situation, that feeling of uncertainty and that feeling of instability, that all starts to close in on your ability to innovate and deliver and communicate and have effective teams, because you're constantly in a state of fear.
Yes.
And you're constantly in a state of watching what you say and who you say it to. I mean, I do that on a regular basis because my filter is rather damaged. So I have to be quite periodically check in and go, you could have said that nicer. I would hate to be in a situation. I was in that situation. I was in a very toxic work environment where vulnerability was not allowed. And to the point where I had a coworker who became gravely ill. This was not just, you know, I have a little man cold, or sorry, men, but you do get man colds and they're pretty pathetic. She was gravely ill. She was fighting for her life. And I'm not over-exaggerating that. And when it came time for her time to end at that job, she was penalized by the executive director for having to take that time off when she was fighting for her life. Was not supported in the organization, was not supported at all. And I think you made a valid point about the, you know, health and mental health and what have you. And if you're in an environment where your organization does not practice compassionate communication and does not understand the balance between, you know, being a servant leader and being a dictator, the consequences, the ramifications of those choices are far more reaching than I think most organizations are willing to admit.
Damaging. I worked in a company where at the start of the year, I had a family member hit a pretty serious suicide point. And then that person came to live with me for some time. And I took some time off work to handle that transition. Mm-hmm. At the end of the year, my grandmother passed away.
Crikey.
At the very end, around the holidays. And I asked for some time off work at the start of January. And I helped to bring Agile into the organization. And we had some really positive shifts happening. And I was acting as the lead scrum master at that point. And I was told, we took time off at the start of last year. We're not going to give you time off.
Like, this was not a random small request. It was a reasonable request for flexibility.
So 1 year ago, I took some time off, and it's now 1 year later, the next calendar year. And, you know, I had good reason to take time off. Mm-hmm. The only way I could get the time off is if I got a doctor's note that I needed the time off.
And death in the family should be fairly self-explanatory.
Right? So I'm like, okay, something has shifted in the company. And I left that company within a few months. And, you know, unfortunately, they went back to a command and control structure. A lot of their top, like the most innovative, creative people left shortly after I did. And,
can see when a ship is sinking.
They didn't understand the impact of the shift of their choices, you know. And, you know, it goes the other way too, bringing in compassion into space. As you can see, you know, one team I had worked with, they were literally on death row as a department, so about 40 people. they're a very large multinational financial company.
Yeah.
And they were being audited to decide who they were going to fire at the same time that I was brought in to coach them. And within 3 months, they were being held up as the example of a very successful team. Within 3 months, they went from death row to thriving.
Yeah.
Like, people were happy and engaged and smiling and successful.
Yeah.
And all it took was a huge dose of compassion, a willingness to listen to people, a willingness to be really authentic myself,
yeah,
be a human being with people, and to teach the leaders and to invite them into a safe space so that they could do this too. And learn how to
that, that last point is probably organizations fail from the top down, right?
Yeah.
So if you're in a situation where you start to see your sales drop and you start to see staff leaving, or you have recurrent staff turnover, it doesn't matter how many pizza parties you throw or how many special events you have or whatever. If your staff are still leaving,
yeah,
your culture is still fundamentally broken.
Yeah.
And you have to take a pause as the leader of the organization and go, huh, I am dropping the ball somewhere. And whether it's because I walk into my office and I shut my door and people know, they know, point of pride, people know not to bother me during that. Dude, are you, you need to take your door off the hinges. You are the, like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
And to get to, that's the one thing that I love. We have to wrap up in a couple of minutes. And that's the one thing I love about Spark. I started as a paid member of the team because my background is in event organization and promotion and logistics, and transitioned into, I just want to be a part of this. Like, mm-hmm. I it doesn't matter to me anymore whether I get paid or not. I get so much out of it
mm-hmm.
from learning that organizations don't have to suck, and from being able to then take what I'm privileged to learn from amazing speakers like yourself and say, you know what? There's data and science and everything else you need to back up these recommendations. If that's what you need to get on board and have a more compassionate organization in regards to your listening tools and your flexibility and whatever, okay. Here's your left brain stuff that you can use to justify moving in this direction.
Yes.
What your right brain should be doing is rejoicing that this stuff exists.
Mm-hmm.
Your organization isn't going to fail into obscurity because you refused to even look at change. You refused to accept responsibility for being the one that has to drive the change. And you refuse to believe that, you know, your heart doesn't belong in your job. Like, that's, and that's what's, I mean, that's what Spark, I'm a layperson. I'm not, I have no agile background, no scrum background, nothing. I get nothing except what I've learned through doing Spark. And when I see organizations now who are unique in that capacity, I had somebody come in to something I was doing, and the way he was talking, I'm listening to him, whatever. And I said, so we're looking for emerging speakers for Spark, and I think you should apply for that. And he said, why? And I said, you need to understand as a leader how fundamentally unique you are within your industry. It was a landscaping industry and what have you. Mm-hmm. And he, that was just how he led. He didn't think there was anything unique about how he included his employees in decision-making and how he was respectful of them and how he incorporated their ideas. And I'm like, oh dude, you, believe me when I say you are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. It's frightening. But it's heartening to know that we have people like you who have embraced it, who are, you know, living learned lessons and are willing to share that and understand the positives and can communicate that in such a way that organizations can take it on board.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Like, we're, I say, I love talking to smart people because, you know, one of the biggest lessons, I do a lot of reading. It's kind of frightening how much reading I do. And the smartest people I know always admit that there is something more to learn.
That something more to learn.
Yeah. The best leadership skill they have is admitting that they need people smarter than them in a variety of ways. Mm. And we have people like you to fill those gaps, which is organizations just need to come to Spark and get on board, because damn it, you're not doing it right. No, no judgment, but you're not doing it right. So we have to, the last thing actually, there was, so tools of compassion, and I was going to make a gray hair story, because there was something there around, so, you know, Selena and I both suffer from the
early onset gray hair,
early onset of gray hair and managing that and what have you. And I chose one way, she's choosing another way. But we talked about societal expectations, and you made a really interesting point about owning the next phase, yeah, and what that means. And I think if organizations were to look at their lack of communication and fixing that as their next phase, you know, that would be a huge step towards fixing their gray-haired issue. Because it is, in this day and age, lack of communication, it is a gray-haired issue. There's no reason nowadays not to have reasonable communication tools as part of your organization.
And that's a great first step, like getting really clear communication tools in place, and like teaching people how to communicate in healthy, helpful manners with each other. Right. You know, and that it only comes if you're willing to be authentic, really.
And embrace your gray, because it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So we are going to wrap up. And thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. Once again, I've been fortunate to interview three of our female speakers off the bat, which is, you know, awesome. Woman to woman, it's wonderful to see women making change and pushing that stuff forward. We're not always terrific at putting ourselves in the limelight for that kind of thing. And so thank you for that.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And for everybody else, please visit sparkthechange.ca. Check out our incredible speaker line. We are so fortunate to have an amazing network of speakers coming in that address a huge variety of issues. It's one track, one stream, 2 days, unexpected surprises, great coffee. We brought in a barista for the first time last year. I tell you, it will change your life as far as conferences go, and every other conference after will not measure up, because the coffee will blow your mind. And we're just, it's fun. It's a fun way to learn. It's an accepting way to learn. It's an open way to learn. You have ideas, let us know, because we incorporate our attendees' feedback into what we do the following year. And that's what also drives our speaker choices and a variety of other things. So we're going to sign off for today. You don't go anywhere, because we're going to chit chat for a second. And I promise it'll be a second. But everybody else, thank you so much for joining us. Again, visit sparkthechange.ca, and hopefully we'll see you in June. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, and please visit us at sparkthechangetoronto.ca to learn more, or you can follow us on Twitter @SparkConfto.